The Lesson Team with Steve Riggs begins now.
Our guest, Dr. Carol Renard Gaffney, PhD. She's a consulting psychologist and coach who focuses on the people side of business, including talent selection, leadership development, performance improvement, and life management. As a result of working with Dr. Gaffney, executives, athletes, salespeople, and educators have all seen grand and great results in their careers and improved performance, as well as greater productivity. Working with Dr. Gaffney, she provides insight, experience, intelligence, creativity, accountability, and helps clients develop behavioral intelligence. Dr. Gaffney is a graduate of Bates College and the University of Texas. Carol, how are you today?
I'm great, and it's great to be here again.
I'm anxious to talk about six dimensions. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Six Dimensions, the company that I was developing at the time with my sons, was actually called Six Dimensions Sports Consulting. Six Dimensions refer to six dimensions of our way of experiencing the world and ourselves. We were concentrating specifically on sport. And so the more more understanding there is for knowing what your goals are, what your self-talk is,
right,
how coachable you are, what you know about the game, and being able to identify your strengths and potential weaknesses,
right,
we're able to pinpoint areas for development based on your strengths, and until all six dimensions were working together harmoniously. I have found over time in working with the six dimensions, and this six dimensions is based on the science of axiology,
right,
that when these six dimensions are equally developed and operating harmoniously, there's an opportunity to experience flow. Flow is where we are able to execute the skills that we have,
sure,
the best.
Sure.
So this was the basis for peak performance.
The average person is not necessarily going to go out and get deeply involved in this. However, I do know that you've done some work with it down in Florida. Maybe listeners might be interested in anything that you got involved in down in Florida with some of the clients, because I know you've worked with golfers.
Well, I have worked with golfers, and typically, even though I keep the six dimensions as the performance, the sandbox that I keep in my mind, I typically don't explain it to someone because you can just go cross-eyed thinking of all these things.
Right.
But as I have worked with individuals, but I've done more work with groups and introducing them to the mental game and the 15th Club, what has surprised me is that so many of the people in the groups that I have facilitated do not know what the 15th Club is.
Maybe you can tell the listeners who don't know what it is.
Right, so the first question is, what is the 15th
right,
club?
Right.
I said, well, how many clubs are you allowed in your golf club,
right,
in your golf bag? And surprisingly, a lot of them don't know that either. This is a general group. These are not the pros.
Right.
And one of the things that I'm very happy about is being able to help the average player,
sure,
the country club player,
right,
those who are down in Florida or up here,
right,
who are not going to pay the huge bucks for a performance coach but still want to improve their performance. And so for any of you can say, well, of course everyone's going to know that you can only have 14 clubs.
Right.
And then the 15th club is your brain. Everything starts in the brain. And so the 15th club is, how do you use your brain to improve your performance?
I have found with virtually every person that I've worked with, the one thing they all have in common is self-talk.
Yes.
And that, to me, is the biggest destroyer of performance.
Absolutely. I would totally agree with you. And it's not, it's the self-talk. And sometimes self-talk, I think, of what we say in our heads.
Right.
It doesn't come out loud, but a lot of times you hear it anyway. And so in the workshops that I'm doing,
right,
to take all of the scientific stuff, all this mind-bending,
right,
information, I put it very simply, let's learn our ABCs. Everyone knows has an ABC for something.
Right.
And for the mental game, it's attitude, breathing, and commitment. And in the attitude, when you're talking about the self-talk,
right,
that's where self-talk comes in. And so it's the attitude toward myself, attitude toward the people I'm playing with, and attitude toward the game that I'm playing today. I'll go to a club and talk to people. So, well, how was your round of golf today? So, oh,
right,
it was terrible. Well, how come? Oh, gosh, I just was terrible. This was bad. The people I'm playing with, they didn't know what they were doing. All of that negativity breeds a kind of a somewhat of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Who is going to do well? under those conditions.
The next thing is breathing. And can you talk a little bit about that for a second?
The breathing becomes so important because once you are aware of being in a thought process
right.
or a behavioral process that is not positive and working you toward your goal,
mm-hmm.
the breathing is the opportunity to reset yourself to be in the moment rather than in the last shot in your mind
right.
or someplace that's not helping you. There's so much going on. There's so much external stuff going on. We actually become stressed.
Yeah.
And that stress can increase on the golf course when something starts going wrong. Like you've been paired with someone you really didn't want to be paired with. You're on the first tee and the first shot isn't what you anticipated. Focusing on your breath, and now you're in the moment. That is being mindful, and when you do that, you can counteract your negative self-talk with something that's positive and true.
And the breathing allows access to that. People
yes.
don't realize that. The other thing is the relaxation involved with the exhale or the breathing
That's
out.
Right.
A lot of people, even tour players, they breathe through their upper body. They breathe through their chest.
Right.
The biggest muscle of the body is the one that we use for breathing. And if people could learn how to breathe
mm-hmm.
using their diaphragm, which
right.
is way low. Can you talk about that for just a second?
I'm just going to put golf aside for
sure.
a second. Athletes who go to the gym
yeah.
and they're trying to lift weight, what are they told? Say, breathe out.
Yeah.
How are you going to get more energy? How are you going to get more power? It's on the breath out. And you hear when tennis players are playing, you hear them go,
the grunts.
That is the breathing out to put power in. And it releases power and it puts you back into a place where you can actually think. So the diaphragm can get very tight when you are only doing upper body breathing.
Yeah.
You can't have the kind of exchange of air in your lungs maximized. If you consider your lungs to be two big balloons, what you want to do is empty them and then fill them up with new air. Then you get oxygen rather than carbon dioxide into your lungs, and that then fuels, goes through the blood, it fuels your muscles to the extremities as well as your brain. As you get stressed, your chest actually tightens. So one of the things to be aware of is to how to loosen that so that you can have the energy flowing into the tips of your fingers. You cannot
create club head speed. Yeah.
Right, and when you are tight, because the energy comes from your core.
That's right. That's
and
right.
when you are tight, when your chest is tight, that you cannot access the energy that your core energy.
And it just radiates right down your arms into your hands
That's
and basically
right.
restricts the motion.
That's right.